What up, y'all? It's your man, D Real, the Black Panther stalking the urban jungle and vibranium Adidas, bringing you another podcast of B Real with D Real. I'm D Real. What's up? How y'all feeling? How you doing? How you living? How's life treating you? And happy Father's Day. I don't think we hear that enough. I think fathers hear it a lot, you know, amongst ourselves, you know, like, because I've told a bunch of fathers happy Father's Day today already, but I don't think it's so much, you know, like Father's Day is as prevalent as Mother's Day. And I don't want to get into that age-old conversation of which one is more important or which one makes a greater contribution, or the mother or the father. Father's Day is not a day for men to proclaim. We make just as much of a contribution, if not more, or anything of that nature. It's not that. It's not trying to be better. It's not trying to one-up. It's simply to be acknowledged for who you are and the things you do for your family. Period. That's it. No long drawn outs about it. For father, you know what I'm saying? Whether you be, you know, it be the children that you gave birth to, or helped to give birth to, or children that you have raised as your own, and you consider them your children, this day is for y'all. This day is for men. And I don't say that in no mean way, even though I did raise my voice when I said it. I don't mean it in a mean way. I just mean it bugs me when women are trying to get kudos on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Ladies, stop that. Don't. Okay, you got a day. Why you got to take another day and be like, well, damn it, I'm taking this one too. I don't care nothing about what a man's saying. But originally, the sentiment behind it, when Sonora Smart Dodd wanted to acknowledge her father all the way back in 1909, because their mother died and he had to raise her and his other five children, okay? Strangely enough, for some reason, that does not happen often enough, you know, but she wanted to acknowledge her father, who she thought was a great man, and any man that's going to raise six kids on his own is indeed a pretty special kind of cat. Father's Day was founded in Spokane, Washington, of all places, at a YMCA in Spokane, Washington, in 1910. That was the first Father's Day celebration. And from what I've read about it, it didn't get much traction because people were like, oh, they're just trying to have a day like Mother's Day. Oh, that'll blow over. And it took a little while. I mean, because the first one was actually, it was proposed to be on the first Sunday of June, but Miss Dodd wanted religious fanfare and sermons and things like that to be spoken about fathers on Father's Day. She wanted a nice sermon, but she presented the idea in May, you know. So the pastors didn't have enough time to throw together a huge enough sermon honoring fathers by June 5th. So they ended up pushing the first Father's Day out to June 19th. And eventually, they're about, say, like the 1920s, 1930s, we decided that we should have Father's Day on the third Sunday in June. Okay. And like I said, in the 20s, it didn't have much success initially because I think Miss Smart died. Decided she wanted to pursue furthering her education. And so advocation of Father's Day kind of fell by the wayside. But as it always does, leave it to big business to spark the interest in it, where like at some point in the 30s and 40s, that's when we started saying, okay, let's increase the manufacture of ties, tobacco pipes, and anything of that nature that we have that dads traditionally get as a gift. Okay. By the modern era, and when I say modern, I mean like from the 60s on, Father's Day had already been all but ingrained into the collective consciousness of the United States of America. So while it is a holiday, it ain't exactly a holiday. It's one of those days, you know. Other days that are related to it, in many countries, International Men's Day is celebrated on November 19th, but International Men's Day is more for people who are not fathers. I don't get that horse. So that's a brief history of Faja's Day, as my sister-in-law likes to say. So here we are on Father's Day 2019, and 646-668-2268, the number, if you got a story you want to share related to fatherhood. It could be about your pappy, your daddy, your father, or a father-like figure, because I can say with all honesty, before he died in 2009, my father had absolutely nothing to do with me beyond the age of 6. So the only real stories that I can tell about my father was that he wasn't around. And I don't say that as a mean thing, and I don't say that as a bitter thing, because I am way too spiritually conscious to allow something like bitterness to eat at me, and continue to eat at me. It's a fact. I had to grow up, and so I had to find other male role models that I could look up to, that I could get my father fix on. Unfortunately, there was not a lot of them. Most of the men I grew up around were womanizers and man whores. And we're doing other things that probably didn't lend themselves too well to honoring or being honored, I guess is the best way I could put it. There were a few, but I think for me in my life, a lot of male contact, you know, contact with males or positive male role models came in the form of either other people's fathers, teachers, instructors in something, you know, like a football coach or a martial arts instructor, you know, something like that. I had to find, you know, role models and things like that, you know, and of course my older brother, who I think illustrated a good example by, I don't know, for me growing up where we grew up, you was a good role model if you didn't do jail time. You were a good role model if you weren't a junkie or alcoholic or involved in some kind of crime or some kind of fracturing of the law. That's about as tight a curve as we could cut in my family. If you wasn't caught up in none of that, then you was cool. At least that's the way it was taught to me. Like I said, my brother was the closest thing I had, you know, to a role model that I could observe directly and not just in one particular setting. And he himself, growing up without the benefit of a father, did a very admirable job, I would say, of doing what's right, of saying what's right most of the time. So kudos to my big brother for being a strong male role model and showing me what I needed to see. Now, don't get me wrong, realist, nobody's perfect. And why is it that we are willing to accept less than perfection in a father, but for a mother, they're referred to as saints? And I don't say that as no debate question. I say it, I'm simply presenting it for what it is, because that's a fact. I mean, I don't ever hear anyone say my father is a saint or my father is beyond reproach. You know, and that's another reason why sometimes I think to myself, God was a woman. God wasn't no man. I mean, because if you look at the nature of what God is or what God is supposed to be, those qualities are captured much better in the female than they are in the male. Women are naturally nurturing and loving and caring. You know, men are more just like, okay, I'm going to give you this practical knowledge and I'm going to tell you, all right, this is what you need to do and I'm going to show you how to do it. Now go execute. You know, that's more of a man's role rather than, you know, nurturing and loving. Not saying that men can't be nurturing and loving, but men are, like I said, more, I don't know, just, We have to have a hard edge because we want our children, at least our male children, to grow up with a hard edge to them. We don't want them to seem weak. We don't want them to seem soft. Whereas with our daughters, it seems like that's kind of optional. You know what I mean? If a man raises a tomboy for a daughter, that's kind of considered a good thing, at least in all of the circles I've been in. A girl who was a tomboy was always a cool thing because she knew how to handle herself around boys, and you didn't have to worry so much about somebody taking advantage of your baby girl in some, you know, situations where men tend to be a little more finesse-like, if you catch my drift. But like I said, today and Father's Day, which I know y'all all know, if you want to give a shout out to your daddy, your granddaddy, your uncle, whoever it was that was that figure in your life that made you say, okay, this is what a man is and I want to be like him, and you got something you want to say about that cat, 646-668-2268. Go on and give a shout out to your father or your father-like figure. I've realized for some people that may be a woman. I'm not going to say if it's a woman, I don't want you to call in, but at the same time, understand that this show is about paying respect, homage to the father, your father that's a guy. You know what I mean? I get it. We've been doing this by ourselves for a long time, says every woman in creation. But there are men who are doing it, and dare I say, they're being overshadowed. The fact that they're doing it and being overshadowed doesn't mean that they aren't significant. It just means they're outnumbered. So a man doing the right thing when it comes to his children, I feel like it's something to be celebrated. Not a deadbeat who's bragging about what he's supposed to be doing for his children, but a man who in his heart and in his mind knows what he is supposed to be doing and saying as a father, and rather than looking for recognition, looking for kudos, looking for a big thumbs up, they simply go and do what they know they need to be doing, and they don't look for recognition. They don't look for acknowledgement for doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, by that same token, neither should a mother. But we do because we appreciate it. And I think we need to appreciate our fathers more for what they do and don't get lauded for, what they do and don't get acknowledged for. You know, I know a friend of mine whose father put in over $50,000 of his money to keep his son out of jail. Didn't ask if his son was innocent. Didn't ask if his son was guilty. All he said was, that's my son, and I don't want him to be in jail. Now, whether he was guilty of the crime that he was accused of, we're still on the fence about that. But we cannot argue the nobility, the dedication of this man's father who was stepping in, you know, to say, you know, that I'm trying to do right by my child. Whether he deserves this right or not is academic. I'm a father, and taking care of my children is what I'm supposed to do. And so he did it. Tell you another interesting story. A friend of mine, it's a real, like, man kind of story, I guess, because it was let me just tell the story. Okay, this must have been like, let's say 10th, maybe like 10th grade, 11th grade, somewhere around there. So I'm like a sophomore, junior in high school. And me and my homeboy, Mark, we ended up staying after school, you know, because I don't know if Mark was involved in that program. Maybe he was trying out for basketball or something like that. But anyway, we ended up staying after school. And that day was the day it decided to snow. Snow like a mug. I mean, if you've been in the Midwest, and you've been in the Midwest when it snowed and you done had to deal with that, and that's saying something with me living in Alaska and telling you, when I say a Midwest winter is nothing to be sneezed at, or maybe it is. See what I did there? Ba-dum-bum. Anywho, harsh snowing, just out of nowhere, came down, instant blizzard. And they had these buses that they called lake buses. And if, like, after school, maybe, like, around 4:15, something like that, there was a late bus. And if you was in an after school activity, the late bus was the bus you caught to get home. Then if you was in an activity that lasted a little longer than what the late bus ran for, they had the late bus that came like around 4:30-ish, something like that. And I remember it was this cat named Mr. Hinton who used to drive the bus. And Mr. Hinton was one of them old black men that was just like, I don't play that. The bus leave at this time. And if you ain't on it, guess what? You ain't getting home, at least not with me. So me and Mark missed the late bus. Me and Mark missed the late bus. So now we like, oh, boy, what are we going to do? So We're in school, and it's to the point, you know, when the schools start closing down, you know, and it's snowing so bad. And I called my mom, and I'm like, "Hey, mama, can you come get us?" Yeah, who you with? I'm with Mark. And where does Mark stay? And Mark stay in North Kansas City, or his dad saying, "Oh, I ain't driving North Kansas City in this weather. Forget that shit. Well, do you want to ride home, or do you want me just?" And you know, in my mind, I'm like, I can't leave my boy hanging like that. I can't leave him just sitting up at the school. Nah. We gonna call Mark's dad and see if Mark's dad will bring us home. Strangely enough, my mother was like, okay, and hung up the phone. well, not so strangely. Mark's dad did come get us. But in the process of waiting for Mark's dad, the janitors threw us out of the school. Yes, I don't remember who them janitors were, punk-ass janitors, but they threw us, told us we had to leave. We waiting on our ride, and we ain't got nowhere to go. You going to have to wait on your ride outside. I'm like, this is a cold, cold script. So we went outside. We outside waiting, and we are not weather appropriately dressed. So long story short, we outside in jackets freezing our nuts off, and his dad finally comes, and he picks us up, and we get in the car, and he says, well, was it cold out there? I did that. We can't even talk. You know what I'm saying? It's just chattering and teeth. We just cold. And what he said will stick with me, has stuck with me, and will continue to stick with me for the rest of my natural life. I will have Alzheimer's, and I will remember what Mark's dad said to us. He turned around to us in the back seat and said, "It's good that you had to stand out there in the cold like that, because you might have grown up and became a man and not know what it was like to stand in the cold. So it's best that you learned that lesson while you were young." Now, mind you, at the moment when his dad says this, in my brain, I ain't say it out loud. In my brain, I was like, ain't that some shit? It's cold out here. And this nigga giving lessons about how beneficial it was for us to be in the cold. How dare him? But then again, at the same time, I'm like, okay, he did come and get us. He didn't have to come get us. He came through snow, through storm, and went all the way out of his way. I stayed over. At that time, we stayed over off of Cleveland, way off of Cleveland, like close to Jackson. Matter of fact, I stayed on Kensington, okay? Kensington in Kansas City, in North Kansas City. Not real. That's a nice little drive, no matter what the weather is. Okay, but then you take into consideration it was snow, driven snow, hard snow, and he came and picked us up in a Cadillac? Kudos to that man. Okay, all I can say is that was some real stuff, you know what I'm saying? And had, you know, and that wasn't the only thing he said to us. He was dropping knowledge. He was dropping science. He was kicking little stuff to us and imparting wisdom. And that's, you know, what you're supposed to do in a moment like that. Because looking back on it now, it's like, wow, that was a good build. You know what I'm saying? That was a good personal growth moment. PGM. It's a good one. Another instance I can think of where another man's father imparted knowledge on to me. It was kind of in an off sort of way. I had a buddy named Terrell, and his dad, who's no longer with us, God rest his soul. He was always good for imparting hard knowledge. And what I mean by hard knowledge, was his dad would tell it like it was, not necessarily sugarcoat it so that you could digest it. He just tell you facts. He say things to us like, yeah, the black man lazy, he want to sleep all day, and the white man that got up and got the money and gone before he done woke up and decided what he wanted to do. Never understood real weird references like that when I was younger. But as I grew and I saw, you know, what he was saying, like, manifest itself for real, and it's like, okay, that's one thing was true. Really, really shrewd guy with his money. He always had a little something in his pocket. Always had a little something for his family. Always had a little something for himself, you know. And in that aspect, I could respect him. And that was something I kind of, you know, absorbed. It's like, okay, if you don't have nothing else, have something for yourself. Because if you don't have something for yourself, you can't be a benefit to anybody else. And that's that lesson. I took that lesson away with me. You know, it's like, okay, if I want to be a benefit to somebody, I want to be a blessing to somebody, I got to be something. Okay, that might be something good, that might be something bad, it might be something legal, it might be something illegal, but it's a benefit and a blessing to somebody. Okay, you might end up doing time behind it, but hey, again, another one of those PGMs that help us to move along. And speaking of which, I got friends now that have turned out to be amazing parents, okay? For the simple fact, they took the life lessons that they were given and excuse me, I was doing a little something there. And became better people for it. Not the best person, but better people. Better than they could have been. Okay. And fathers can only impart knowledge and wisdom the way they get it. You know what I mean? So another thing you have to understand about a father is a father can only teach you what he knows. Same as a mother. I can't teach you what I don't know as a father, but I can teach you what I do know. And what I do know, a lot of times, at least for my children, if they did take the lesson, it wasn't evident. Does that make sense? If they did hear what I said, if they did understand what I said, It wasn't evident. Again, 646-668-2268. If you have a father story, a father proverb, a father lesson, missive, anything that you want to pass on about your father or father role model in your life, that's the number to call. Shouts out to the people whose dads ain't living. They aren't here to impart those lessons, and so we grow up, we live, and we learn. We learn, right? I mean, life lessons aren't, at least what I've learned about life lessons. Life lessons aren't always friendly. Life lessons aren't always easy to digest. That's why people always tell you, you need the benefit of both parents, because parents are like yin and yang. Okay, they're the yin and yang in your life. Sometimes you need an open hand. Sometimes you need a closed fist. Sometimes you need a mouth to tell you. Sometimes you need an ear to listen to what you're saying. You know, not a knock on the people who grew up in single parent homes. I am one of those people who grew up in a single parent home. And so, like I said, those lessons came hard, at least for me. Those lessons came hard. Number one, because I was hard headed. Okay. Number two, well, as I said before, because I didn't have the benefit of a father figure. You know what I'm saying? You know who I would love to have had for a father? James Evans on Good Times. I would have loved to have James Evans as a father. I mean, James Evans was harsh, but he was fair. You know what I mean? And he always encouraged his children to be more than what they was and to do the right thing. And for me, that's pretty much all I could ask of anybody. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, just like you say, you know, take my words, you know what I mean, and use them to live. Take my lessons and use them to be a blessing to somebody else. You feel me? I think for me, being a father is one of the biggest responsibilities and thrills that I have ever had in my life. I think it's been fun for me to be a father. It's been a harsh, I guess, a good way to harsh. It's an awakening process. You know what I mean? I mean, you wake up and you learn, hey, I've got to be more than what I am. And just so, you know, that lesson ain't lost on anybody, think about, for those of us that have kids, think about when you had your very first child. Okay? What was going through your head when you had your first child? This is my first child. This is my first offspring. I'm going to try to give, deposit, do everything I can to ensure that this child's life is nothing short of blessed. It might be a bit much, but that's where I was, you know, when my first one was born. And me, I have the unique ability to make female children for some strange reason. That's that's all my body product will reproduce is female children, or at least at this point. And I'm not looking to try to find out how bad you want a little boy child, how bad you want. Yeah, it used to be like that, but after three, I'm like, okay, cool. That's too many females to worry about already anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because you already wonder what they doing. Are they messing with the right dudes? Are these dudes good dudes? You know, that's pretty much every guy who ever has a child and that child turns out to be a female thinks. They ain't gonna lie and say they don't ever think it. But I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, it's a lie, okay? We don't think about anything else we think other things, but primarily we think about protecting our girl children. Shoot, I even got a shirt that's got like 9 rules for dating my daughter, and all of them are basically just rules that say things like, I'm gonna kill you, I ain't scared to go back to jail, I don't like you, whatever you do to her, I'm gonna do to you. Those are the rules, you know what I'm saying? Because we cherish we love our little girl children. We just do. I can't explain it. I know for me, it's just, it's about if I fail at doing for my children, I sometimes take it really harsh and feel like I fail as a father. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else, but it's like, okay, if I got a kid and my kid is in college and my kid is going to medical school and my kid doesn't make it through medical school, did I fail as a father? I mean, they failed as a student, obviously, but did I fail as a father because I didn't deposit enough drive in them to where they were like, okay, I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing until it's all over. Or, you know what I'm saying, you got a kid that's, you know, playing sports on the college level and they don't make it to the professional level. Is that a shortcoming? Is that a failure on the parents' part? Is there a failure to execute in that area? You know what I'm saying? Do we think about that sort of thing? I know I do. I take it really hard and personal when my kids don't succeed. I mean, that might be weird, but it's just, I don't know, a fact of life. I want my children to be successful at everything they set their hand to. But if they're not successful at everything they set their hand to, I have a hard time saying, okay, you failed at that. I didn't fail at that. You did. You know? Because aren't we supposed to encourage our children? Aren't we supposed to be uplifting our children? And if we don't uplift our children, who are we as parents? I mean, I know there are a lot of parents out there who aren't parents. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of parents out there who make babies but don't raise them into adults. Not saying everybody has the right to make a baby, but as a father, you have a responsibility to raise that baby, regardless of if you and the baby mama are still together or not. That's just the way I feel about it. I don't feel like any man has the right to walk away from the responsibility of a child that they know is theirs. You know what I mean? I mean, because that's what happened to me. I mean, my father just walked away from the responsibility. I mean, I get it. They didn't get along. They fought. There was this, there was that. But you're still a father, whether you're with the mother or not. You're still a father. You still have the responsibility to be a father. You still have the responsibility to do what a father's supposed to do. I feel like in another way, I haven't been as successful as I should be as a father because I have a child that lives with their mother in another state. And I don't know about y'all. I'm not one to be jumping up and running and going and doing because, but I should. Because that's my child, and I should want to do for my child, and I should want to be around my child, and I should want to be there for my child. And sometimes I feel like I wasn't there enough. Don't get me wrong. Baby girl turned out just fine, and the relationship betwixt us is still amicable because I wasn't not there, you know what I mean? I fell into that web of court and custody and all of that. And at the time, I was young and didn't really know how to properly fight for custody and those kinds of things. So I just kind of let that slide by the wayside and was like, okay, me being where I am at the level I'm at is sufficient. But looking back on it, in retrospect, you say, no, it wasn't. How much more could have been achieved? How much more could have been done if there had been more effort, or there was able to be more effort? Because it's very, very difficult to raise a child long distance. We can't say, okay, I want everything to be the way I want it to be, and everybody else just got to go along with it. If they don't go along with it, too bad. That's just the way it is. That's too much control. In my mind, that's too much control for one parent to have. Because if I were a parent and I said, okay, the only time you could see your child is on holidays that end in Y. You know what I mean? That kind of a thing, just outlandish and crazy like that. But I mean, I have been in that situation, and I've seen people who have been in that situation, and it's not a pretty sight, to say the least. Okay, and I don't feel that it's any parent's right, male or female, to punish another person by saying you can't see your child. I get that. We feel that rejection is about us, because I've been there, trust me. We feel that that rejection is about us, and so we project that rejection onto the children. Because if you rejected me, that means you rejecting your child too. Untrue. So very untrue. You're not rejecting the children because you don't want to be with the father or the mother. That's not nothing could be farther from the truth. You know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to be around you so much as it has to do with I'm willing to put up with your shit because I want to be a part of my child's life. I mean, and quite honestly, that's the way we should look at it. Trust me, y'all. I done been through it with two ex-wives, okay? So I understand that, and I ain't even going to call it baby mama drama. It's not baby mama drama. It's just, and this is how I look at it. You can look at it any way you want to. It's family issues, extended, status non grata. I don't know. Well, however you want to put it. Okay. Until your children are adults and you're in a relationship where you sharing custody or you got visitation or you allow visitation, that family member is always, well, I don't even say family, that person is always going to be family. That's just how it should be looked at. You know what I mean? It should be looked at as that's family. I mean, until you done dealing with that person, that's always going to be family. You know what I mean? Because you are sharing a responsibility. And that's what I try to tell people all the time. The last person you should be fighting with is your baby daddy or your baby mama or your ex-husband or your ex-wife or anything of that nature. You know what I mean? I try to be, you know, I think there's been enough time between that the drama portion of our relationship is over. I think it just you know, because my kids are grown. So I don't really have to deal with my kids' mothers, because anything I need to say to my children, I can say to my grown children. I don't need to go through the mother and have to deal with whatever mood she's in that day, and then that's just what I have to deal with. So not so much dealing with it, but in retrospect, I see how drama is a waste of energy. It's a waste of time, and it doesn't really speak to what we are going to do in the best interest of the child that we made. It's always about what you gonna give me, or what you gonna give her, or what you gonna do for me, or what you gonna. Nah, it's about what's in the best interest of the child, and what's in the best interest of the child ain't always handing off a check. No, kids spell love T-I-M-E, and if you want to be loved, then you fight for the time. Don't fight for the money. Fight for the time. That's the best advice I could give the parent who's on the other side of the equation, and the child's being controlled by the other parent. Fight for your time. Don't fight over petty shit. You know what I'm saying? And I know this is a really weird tangent to go off on for Father's Day, but it's some real stuff, and a lot of fathers face it. A lot of fathers deal with it. And all I can say to y'all is, dad, keep your head up, like Pac say. Keep pushing. Keep being. Keep being what your children think you are, or keep trying to be what your children think you are, because ultimately it's a beautiful thing when they come to the realization that even though you weren't in the house, you were still a parent. Even though you weren't like traditional dads, you were still a parent. When they're old enough to realize that, it's so cool, y'all. It is so effing cool, and it'll almost bring tears to your eyes. You know what? Since I ain't in no, never mind. I am going to summarize. How about that, gang? And if anybody has something to say, y'all can leave a comment. What I want to say is this. Over the last 20-something years that I have had the privilege, the pleasure of being a parent in the many different capacities I have been a parent, I can say with all confidence it has been rewarding. It has been enlightening. It has been an experience that makes me understand what a man really is. And it's also an experience that makes me understand that men, you are every bit the parent a mother is. And don't let nobody tell you different. Okay? You might not parent the way your baby mama or your ex prefers parenting to be done, but you are a parent, and you do step out, and you reach out, and you stand out, and you are, and you remain. And to all men in general, I just want to say, keep doing what you do. If you have been there always and forever in your children's life, I salute you. I give you all the praise, all the respect. You have done an amazing thing in someone's life. And all I can say is just, you know, continue to do that. Keep being that cat. Keep being that person who does for their children. That's what I'm going to do. I got one more. I got to deposit something in and send them out into the world, and hopefully they'll be fine. And then by that time, I can just sit on my porch and just chill. But yeah, y'all, that is Father's Day. I have a child coming over to celebrate Father's Day with me, and I'm gonna get treated. So guess what, y'all? I'm gonna bow up out of here, and I'm just gonna say to y'all, have an amazing and memorable Father's Day. Fathers, keep being the father you are. And I will be back soon with another Engaging Podcast. Until then, as always, I encourage y'all, be good and be good to each other. Thank you.